The book of Titus, the fifth book of the T books in the New Testament. Called the fifth book of the T books. First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, and then Titus. Titus chapter 2, please. We're going to read verses 13 through 15 this morning in Titus chapter 2. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 this morning. Please stand to your feet in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together this morning. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and hear it preached. What a great thing. What a great honor. What a great privilege. Now, Father, we'd ask for this to be productive this morning, that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to speak to us, to help us to apply the truths that are preached today. God, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, today I pray they'd settle that in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you my two-part speech I begin every message with on Sunday morning. Part number one, make sure your cell phone or squeaking, screaming device, whatever it may be, is turned off. We forget. Sometimes we leave them, you know, in the purse or in your belt or whatever. We forget that they're on. If it goes off and during the service, now that the preaching has begun, the ushers will come forward and drag you by your hair out of the door to the parking lot where you will be run over by a semi-truck. And so help us with that. Just make sure it's off or vibrate. Would you help us there, please? I'm going to ask also that you just sit still now and listen. No one needs to get up and go out of the room unless there's a health reason that needs to be taken care of. Please take care of that. But other than that, you don't need a drink of water. You can hold off for just a few moments, please, and listen carefully. These next several Sunday mornings, we're going to talk to you about Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. Well, what is it, Pastor Johnson? Look at your Bibles again this morning, please, would you? Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope, that Jesus is coming again. How many of you have ever heard that? Jesus is coming again. Have you ever heard that before? Most Christians know that Jesus Christ is coming again. We know he came the first time, born of a virgin, walked this earth for 33 homesick years away from his heavenly Father, went to the cross and died and went to the grave and rose again 3 days later. Very important to have a resurrected Savior. Can't have a returning Savior without a resurrected Savior. Then ascended back to heaven. Now for 2,000 years has been waiting for marching orders to come back here to this earth, my friend. In two parts, the second coming. The first part of Christ's second coming is when he will come for his own. He'll return to the cloud level. The Bible says we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ rise first. They go up. Then we which are alive and remain are caught up together. We meet the Lord in the air and then we return to heaven with him. 7 years passes. We are in heaven. The earth goes through tribulation. We'll explain that to you in these next few weeks. The earth goes through tribulation. At the end of that 7 years, we return with Christ. Second phase of the second coming, when he returns with his own. He comes back to this earth. He puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives. It cleaves in half. A river issues forth that goes to the Dead Sea, brings that to life. And then Jesus Christ rules and reigns from David's throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, there's a judgment day. And all matters are resolved with Almighty God as the final and complete judge of all in all things. And all of that begins with the blessed hope and the great appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you realize today, dear friend, that you, if you are a child of God, you need to lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're this close. We're that close. I am amazed when one day goes by and we're still here. I'm amazed. It just amazes me. Someone asked me one day, Pastor, do you believe we're in the last days before the return of Christ? My answer is no. I believe we're in the last minutes before the return of Christ. I'll be amazed if we get to the end of this message this morning before the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. That's why I think he comes on Sunday morning. The dead in Christ rise first. All these churches, boop, people pop, never mind. The dead in Christ rise first, then we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I honestly, truly believe and know from the prophetic statements of Scripture, and there are literally hundreds of them, that had to be fulfilled before Christ would return, that all of those prophetic things are now completed and have been for some time now. There's nothing left. There are no prophecies. There are no world conditions left to be met. There are no situations left on this earth. There's nothing left in the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. There's nothing left from Zechariah. There's nothing left in the Old Testament prophecies. There's nothing left that Jesus said in Matthew 24 and other passages would have to take place before he would return. There's nothing left now. It's all done. We are literally waiting for the door of heaven to open and God the Father to tell the Son, now it's time, and the trump of God sounds and we go up. Amen. That's where we are today. That's the moment in which we live. Now the Bible says in the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, I want you to notice the wording. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This morning I want to talk to you about these simple things. To whom is the return of Christ considered that blessed hope? I want to talk to you about why is the return of Christ called the blessed hope? What does it mean to know you have a blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think not only do we as a nation, but I think we as a church today and many of us here this morning, we need to get a little hope in our soul. We need to get this thing straightened, and we need to get the right kind of hope. There are all kinds of people today trying to muster up. Oh, there's hope. I was in the airport the other day, and there's a headline on the front page saying some economists are predicting the recession is almost over. I wish they'd tell the rest of America that the recession is almost over, or will most certainly almost be over by September. And then they will all sweep up and everything will return, and within no time, boy, we'll be right back to wherever it was we were before. Does that give you hope? Seriously, an economist, in his opinion. How about a philosopher's opinion of America now that we have a globalist attitude coming from our administration and we're going to go out and just smooch the whole entire cotton-picking world? Tell everybody in the world we need to be like everybody else and everything's going to be okay because we're all going to be friends now. Does that give you hope? See, here's what's happening today. People are trying to find hope in certain places. See, hope is something that the world does. Whereas for the Christian, hope is something that we have if we've got it in the right place. And that's why Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope. If you have it, if you're looking for something, you know what you're looking for, right? So if you're looking for the blessed hope, it's something that you have. You're looking for the fulfillment of this hope that God has given you. Friend, if you don't have any hope this morning, I don't know what to do for you. I believe if you'll listen, you'll get the right kind of hope today. You'll leave here, regardless of how the economy goes, regardless of the circumstances and conditions of the financial situation of America, regardless of the world situation, you will leave today and you'll lift up your head and for your redemption draw up nigh. And the hope that you will look for is not a hope in someone, but in somebody, and that somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll notice, again, it says in verse number 13, this Savior who returns is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To whom is this return of Christ considered the blessed hope Is that who the world is looking for today? Are they looking for? Is the entire world looking for the blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ? They're looking for somebody. I don't doubt that. And we'll get to this in messages in the future when we talk to you about the tribulation period and the person the Bible calls the Antichrist. One who will come and his intention will be to replace Christ. I believe people today are of such a mind that this person who will replace Christ one day attempt to do so with power and wonders and might, that this world will gladly lay down at his feet. If he can resolve some of the world's problems, bring economic happiness and safety to people, and give everybody a chicken in every pot, that people would lay down at the feet of the devil. And by the way, the Antichrist is Satan possessed. Is that who the world's looking for? To whom is this blessed hope and the returning Savior? To whom is this a blessed hope? Is the world, are the religions of the world looking for Jesus Christ to return today? Is that what Islam is looking for? Is that what the Hindu religion with its 330 million gods is looking for? Is that what the religions of the world, are they looking for the return of Jesus Christ? Is that what they seek? Well, then to whom is this a blessed hope? Verse number 13, it says to those who are looking for the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? They're not looking for somebody. These people who consider this a blessed hope, they're looking for the appearing, the blessed hope and the appearing of this God and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're people who know Him as God and Savior. Verse number 14, there are people who know Him as Redeemer. It says, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. You know, this blessed hope that we should be looking for, it only works for those who are looking for Jesus, their Savior, to come back. Jesus, the Son of God and God the Son, to come back. Jesus, the one who redeemed them of their sins and gave them His life for their salvation. That's the one who's the blessed hope for them. Are you looking for the blessed hope of your returning Savior today? The one who saved you, gave you salvation, redeemed you of your sins, went to the cross and took upon Himself the bloody death of Calvary, and on Calvary made the payment for our sins, dipped His soul into death and hell and rose from the grave 3 days later and has ascended back to the Heavenly Father, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God on high, not sitting next to Muhammad, not sitting next to Buddha, not sitting next to the religions of the world, but Jesus, the Son of God, highly exalted and lifted up, the Savior who conquered sin and death and hell for us. That Savior, that's a blessed hope. I'm not watching the eastern sky expecting it to split open and see an ecumenical council fall out of heaven with all the religions of the world coming back to bring great peace on this earth. I'm looking for the Son of God and God the Son. I'm looking for the great God, ladies and gentlemen. See, if Jesus is God, and He is, He's God the Son in human flesh. If Jesus is God, that separates Him from all others and any other. And if He's the Savior, that means He is my personal Savior. I mean, that means Savior. Now, here's a complicated theological term, but let me give it to you. Savior means one who saves me. Deep, ain't it? He's my Savior. He's not the religious leader of my movement. He's the Son of God who died for me on the cross to save me from hell. I'm looking for Him. That's a blessed hope. He's coming again. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am a way, a truth, and a life. No. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus made it very clear. He wasn't a Savior, friend. He was the Savior. And if that's a blessed hope to you this morning, then you're looking for the Savior, the one who saved you, the one you put your personal faith and trust and dependence upon, eternal life and heaven upon, and trusted Christ as the Savior for you. That's who we're looking for. And you know what? That's a blessed hope. Secondly, why is Christ's return considered that blessed hope? Why? Well, because verse number 13 says we're looking for the glorious appearing. Now, some people say, boy, I can't wait till Christ comes back because I can get out of here. Now, that's okay. That's all right. I don't mind my disappearing as a part of Christ's return. That's all right. That's wise. That's smart. It would be nice. Would it be nice if you're standing there in line at Walmart? You're about 52nd in line. And somebody up there in the front of the line is waiting on a report of a price for an 82-cent item. And they think it's 81 cents. And they're holding your life hostage over a penny. And that person is calling back to a department that does not exist to ask a person who isn't really there to get the price on a product that you don't care about, who's holding you in line hostage. I say hostage. And you realize your life is ebbing away for a stinking penny. You ever reach in your pocket, pull out $5, say, I'll give you $5 for that thing if you'll just let me out of here. And there you are standing in line at Walmart. And you think, even so come, Lord Jesus. Please, right now, take me. That's where I'm going to be. I know that's where I'm going to be. I'm either going to be in Walmart when Jesus comes back, or I'm going to be leaning on a rack of dresses in a women's department somewhere while my wife's in there trying to find a dress. And the Lord, first thing the Lord's going to ask me, what were you doing over there? You know what? Already been there and bought that t-shirt, brother. Let me tell you. Always in the women's department, I'm always standing there leaning on a rack of dresses going, no, this doesn't look masculine. There is no way this could look masculine. So I always pull a dress off the rack and ask him, you got this in 2X? Does this go with my eyes? You think it make my hips look big? You know, something like that. Getting out of here. Yeah, thank you. Getting out of here is good. But see, the blessed hope is the blessed hope to people who the Bible says are looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus. We're going to get to see him. Him. We get to see him. Yeah, leaving here is nice, but we get to see him. Leaving this earth behind is good, but we get to see him. We get to see him. We get to see the face of the one who loved us so much he gave his life for us. We get to see him. And I know, ladies and gentlemen, I think we'll be very surprised what Jesus looks like. Well, see, well, there's all kinds of paintings of Jesus Christ. Now, don't take the word of a 16th century homosexual Catholic artist. That's not what Jesus looked like, okay? Trust me now. But whatever he looked like when he walked this earth is not what he looks like now. Revelation chapter 1 gives us a description of Christ. He has white hair. Amen? It's godly. Truth of the matter is, we don't know. It doesn't make any difference. I know this. We'll know him when we see him, the Bible says. Nail prints in his hands and feet. Thorn scars on his brow. King of kings and Lord of lords. We'll know him when we see him. The blessed hope. All these years we've talked to him, and all these years he's walked with us and encouraged us and helped us and strengthened us. All these years he said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. All these years we leaned on Jesus, and Jesus lifted us. All these years he was a friend that stuck closer than a brother. All these years we called his name, and all these years he came to us in the midnight hours, and all these years we've told people about him. And then we can say it's him. It's him. See, it's a blessed hope because we get to see Jesus. It's a blessed hope because we will see the fulfillment of his promises. He said he would come and get us. A preacher many years ago was telling a story about how when he and his little brother, they grew up in the hills of West Virginia. He and his little brother went into town one day. While they were spending some time in town, they didn't pay attention to what time of the day it was. And it got kind of late, and the older brother turned to his younger brother, and he said, now look, I'm tired of you walking around. I want you to stand right here on this street corner, hold on to that light post right there, and you wait till I come back and get you. And you stay right there. And that preacher, who was the little brother, said, I stood there by that light post and I watched that sun drop down on the hills of West Virginia, and I realized my brother had gone off and just left me. And he said, I stood right there by that light post. He said, my brother got almost all the way home. They live miles back up in those hollers in West Virginia. He said, oh, my brother got almost all the way home and realized he'd forgotten me and turned around and started running back to town. And he said, my brother, as he got to the end of the street, he looked to the corner and he said, and there I was standing there holding that light post. And he ran up to him. He said, why didn't you just go home? He says, because you told me to wait right here. He said, you'd come back. And I waited right here for you. The Bible tells us in the last days, scoffers will come, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. But when Jesus comes back, all the fulfillment of his promises, it's all complete now. He said he would come back and get us. And there he is. He's coming to get us now. All the promises now are fulfilled. Everything is wrapped up. God has taken care of all matters. And he will and make sure he'll follow through. And we'll know it. And we'll see him. And we'll rise to meet him. And no longer by faith do we trust our Savior. Now by fact, we'll see his face. You know why this thing's the blessed hope for the child of God? Because we see the end of things as they are. Now you look at me. Don't you ever get so headline-minded, so earthly attached, to really think that somehow or another on this earth, mankind is going to straighten out the mess mankind has made. It's fascinating, isn't it? Hurricane comes through, act of God. Forest fire comes through, act of God. Flood comes through, act of God. Anything else good happens? Man breaks his arm, dislocates his shoulder, patting himself on the back. Hear anybody? Ever heard the weatherman say, ladies and gentlemen, we had a beautiful sunrise this morning. Act of God. Sun went down tonight. Act of God. Good health in our body. Act of God. God gets the blame for everything and credit for nothing. Even go around telling people we're going to the zoo and throw peanuts to our relatives. We're all related to the animals. We're just evolved higher animal species is all we are. And God gets credit for very little. When Jesus Christ returns, all that stuff ends. When Jesus Christ comes back, we which are alive remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and things will never be the same again. As it has been for almost 6,000 years, it will never be the same again. God changes everything. God establishes his rule. God establishes his timetable. God establishes certain events, and we'll cover them over these next weeks. Everything comes together. It'll be the end of things as they are. You mean the end of the world, Pastor Johnson? Nope. The end of things as they are. It just won't be the same after that. And that's a blessed hope. See, we've seen right here in America, 9/11. Before that, the Prieta earthquake down in San Francisco, where buildings, houses were sliding down the streets. We've seen this nation go through Hurricane Katrina. We've seen all these catastrophes, quote unquote, natural disasters, and in some case, terrorist attacks on our shore take place, and America get religious for about a week. Before 9/11. America's church attendance was at a certain percentage level. For 9/11 and 1 month after that, America's church attendance increased dramatically. 1 month later, it went lower than it was before 9/11. America's not getting the news. America's not listening to the hand of God upon our country. When Jesus Christ comes back, then it doesn't make a difference how people respond. See, we are in right now what is called the age of grace. God, that's why the merciful things happen to this country that happen here. God tries to get our attention. We don't pay attention. Well, why does it just keep going on? Because of the age of grace. That's where we are, age of grace right now. When Christ comes back, that door closes. That age ends. That era is finished. And God's timetable begins. And there is a specific, succinct period of events that takes place, starting with the return of Jesus Christ, and it all goes forward from there. I'm looking for the blessed hope when things will not be as they are anymore. It's a blessed hope because we're going to see the beginning of things that will be. Do you realize, look at me, do you realize if the trump of God sounds right now, you'll be in heaven in the next moments? Just like that. Just like that. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Just that quickly. Do you realize if Christ comes back this next moment, eternity begins for you and me? There'll be events that will take place on this earth and things that take place here. But for the child of God, eternity begins. You will receive a glorified body that will never age, get old, get sick, die, or get tired again. You will have a brand new glorified body. You will meet the Lord in the air. You will return to heaven with the Lord. There will be a reunion there. Oh, the heavy reunion. And that day we'll see the face of all those loved ones we've said goodbye to over those years. There's going to be a time, my friend, things will be as they should be for the child of God. God rules and reigns. We cross over into His presence. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're not looking for something like that, I don't know what you're looking for today. You want to go ahead and scan the headlines and try and find some kind of hope out of the stuff that they're talking about? Have at it. I read the paper. You read the paper. Then I get the Bible out. In the twinkling of an eye. You know how long it takes people to get things done nowadays? You ever notice that when you're in a hurry to get somewhere, you're always behind someone who is in a hurry to get nowhere? And don't care how long it takes them to get there? We're in Colorado, we're on the western slope there, and my brother-in-law and sister came up to see us. They live not a couple hours drive from there. We drove out to see some of the countryside, and my brother-in-law, who's just a little bit older than I am, drives so cotton picking slow. Now, I don't mind that when you're sightseeing, but when we were done and we were heading back for lunch, now it's time to put the hammer down. Let's get to Rib City, pal. It's time to move on here. We were way up on the top of this mountain, and there was a switchback, really narrow dirt road that came off the top of the mountain that cut right over to the freeway. And then the way we drove up was the scenic route up through the elk and the turkeys and everything else. Beautiful country. But it would take us another hour and a half to go that way. He said, it's 20 minutes this way, hour and a half that way. I said, no, it's Rib City this way. It's an hour and a half that way. Let's do the switchback. Well, I don't know the road. It's perfect, I guarantee. You ever been on? No, but I know it's closer to the restaurant. Let's go that way. Thing, look at me. In a twinkling of an eye, you see Jesus, you see your loved ones. The Bible says you get a glorified body. It all happens. The bodies of the saints that are in the grave, the saints are not there. Their bodies are there. They are changed in a moment. There is this great resurrection movement of the almighty hand of God, and it's done in less than 1/500th of a second. We're looking for the blessed hope because it will be the beginning of things as they will be. What does it mean to know that you have this blessed hope? It means this is not all there is, friend. It's not all there is. You understand? This life is not all there is. This is not all there is to it. It's not it. That's it. We talk to so many people and they have this wonderful, great hope of philosophy that I believe you live and you die and that's all there is to it. Boy, what a great thought. That is so encouraging. And I've never met one who did it with a smile on their face. And I believe you die and you go to the worms. We're dead and that's all there is to it. Never seen one do it with a smile on their face yet. Never. Every one of them, well, I believe you die. When you die, it's the end of it. Oh, and that's why you're so happy. We're looking for the blessed hope. You know what it means? Friend, this is it. This life is it and this life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And this, it's not all that there is. You know what it means? It means that in a moment, things will be better forever. So you go on the South Beach, the North Beach, the no food diet. You go on all these diets. You lose this weight. You get down to where you're so skinny. You turn sideways, stick your tongue out. You look like a zipper. Christmas rolls around and you're right back to where you started, probably plus 10 pounds. You ever notice that every joy we have in life is tainted with some kind of sorrow? It is. You get to be with your family and your loved ones and you enjoy that time together, but you know it's not going to last. They're going to have to leave, which in some cases is actually the joy of the family coming, is that they are going to eventually leave. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, thank God they're gone. Every good thing you've ever had in life, you know it's not going to last, right? You sit and look at a beautiful sunset and you go, that's magnificent. You only got a few minutes. And then it's gone. The doctor tells you you're healthy and everything's good, and then you get run over, you know, you quit drinking, you get run over by a beer truck. I mean, something happens. But when Christ comes back, the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. Listen to me, it's better forever. It isn't going to get bad after that. It's just going to get better and better and better and better and better. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know what this blessed hope means to us? It means there is much to do. Sad, isn't it? To think that a Christian who looks for Christ's return doesn't care that their loved ones, their neighbors, their city is going to hell. Christ comes back, we go up. Who are left behind that have heard the gospel will have no hope. We'll prove it to you in Scripture in these next few weeks. So what is this thing about Christians being so happy about the second coming of Christ and don't even care if their mother's going to heaven? That their grandparents, do they have salvation? Well, I don't want to bother anybody. Bother them, that's not the point. Caring is the point. Hey, we don't want to leave anybody behind. Isn't that true? But even if it's not one of our loved ones, hey, how about your neighbor? That person you lean across the fence and talk to, which we don't do much of anymore, but those neighbors that we have, those people that live in our neighborhood, those folks who live in this city, how about the world today? Well, Pastor Johnson, we can't do anything about it. 6.8 billion people on planet Earth. Not with that attitude, we can't. We spend more money on dog food in America than we do the work of God, and that is a disgrace on this planet. That our dogs are fed better than the work of God is taken care of. Where's all this stuff? I ask you if how many people, no sick, Christ is coming again. 99% of the people in this room raise their hand. Question is this: they that have this hope in themselves, the Bible says, purify themselves even as he is pure. So what are we doing sitting there listening to junk? Why are we giving our lives over to sin? What is this thing about we live our life like we're going up and we don't care if anybody else goes or not? That's wicked. When our youngest son was just a few years old and we were in Bible college in the Chicagoland area, we used to go visit. I'd go visit young men I'd preach to in the jail there and cook at Lake County Juvenile Hall. Sometimes we'd go over into some of the areas, the ghetto areas, or sometimes in a barrio. We're in this barrio one day visiting this young man we had reached there in the juvenile hall. While we went up, knocked on the door, we sat in the young man's front room and cockroaches crawling all over the house. My little son was sitting there. Then he was just a little guy at the time. We come out of the house and we're talking with the young man on the front porch for a moment. A car pulled up. A bunch of gangbangers in this car. He said, step back just a second. And we stepped back and he said, they're looking for me. My son's standing there. About 6, 7 years old, 8 years old. And then they drove off when they saw us. So we're walking down the steps. Every person we would pass, my little son would look up at me and he'd say, Daddy, do they know Jesus? Daddy, does he know Jesus? Every person we passed, he wanted to know if I would talk to them about their salvation out of the mouth of babes. See, it's wrong for us to have the blessed hope and not be willing to know if others have the same. I'm not asking you to shove what you believe down people's throat, but that's a whole lot better than this sit-on-the-egg Christianity most folks have. And they never tell anybody about Christ. They don't care about the soul of somebody. You work with them every day, and you've never taken a moment on a break, not the boss's nickel, to talk to them about their salvation, at least to give them a track and say, could you read this when you get a chance? Yeah, it's good we're going up, and it's good we're getting out of here, and it's good to have this blessed hope. But to have it and not be a soul winner, not be serving, not live for God, not do the things we need to do, that's the height of wickedness. That says, I got mine. I don't care if anybody else gets theirs. And that's the cancer that's destroying America today. As long as I get mine, that's all that matters. I don't want to leave anybody behind. I don't want to leave them. And if I leave them behind, I want to leave them behind with the warning. At least I cared enough to tell them about Christ and salvation. At least I was involved in a church that did that. So I was a part of it. And I supported it with my $1.298. And I participated in it. And I went myself and I did something about it. So if we go up, no one will face us one day at a great judgment. We'll point out to you here in a few weeks and say, she never told me anything. He never said a word to me about this. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lift up your head, Christian. Your redemption draweth nigh. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?